All right. Good morning. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 21. Joshua 21. Then the heads of the households of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of households of the tribes of the sons of Israel. They spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, "The Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to live in and their pasture lands for our cattle." So the sons of Israel gave the Levites from their inheritance these cities with their pasture lands according to the command of the Lord. Then the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the sons of Aaron, the priests who were of the Levites, received 13 cities by lot from the tribe of Judah, from the tribe of the Simeonites, and the tribe of Benjamin. And the rest of the sons of Kohath received 10 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Dan, from the half-tribe of Manasseh. And the sons of Gershon received 13 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The sons of Merari, according to their families, received 12 cities from the tribe of Reuben, from the tribe of Gad, and from the tribe of Zebulun. Now, the sons of Israel gave by lot to the Levites these cities with their pasture lands, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. And they gave these cities, which are here mentioned by name, from the tribe of the sons of Judah and from the tribe of the sons of Simeon. And they were there for the sons of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathites, of the sons of Levi, for the lot was theirs first. Thus they gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah with its surrounding pasture lands. But the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. So to the sons of Aaron, the priests, they gave Hebron, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, and Libna with its pasture lands, and Jatir with its pasture lands, and Eshtemoah with its pasture lands, and Holon with its pasture lands, and Debir with its pasture lands, and Ain with its pasture lands, and Juta with its pasture lands, and Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands, 9 cities from these 2 tribes. And from the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with his pasture lands, Geba with his pasture lands, Anatoth with his pasture lands, and Almon with his pasture lands, 4 cities. And the cities of the sons of Aaron, the priests, were 13 cities with their pasture lands. Then the cities from the tribe of Ephraim were allotted to the families of the sons of Kohath, the Levites, even to the rest of the sons of Kohath. And they gave them Shechem, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with his pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim, and Gezer with his pasture lands, and Kibzaim with his pasture lands, and Beth Horon with his pasture lands, 4 cities. And from the tribe of Dan, El Tekeh with its pasture lands, Gibbethon with his pasture lands, Ajalon with his pasture lands, Gath Rimmon with his pasture lands, 4 cities. And from the half tribe of Manasseh, they allotted Tanakh with his pasture lands, and Gath Rimmon with his pasture lands, 2 cities. All the cities with their pasture lands for the families of the rest of the sons of Kohath were 10. Then to the sons of Gershon, one of the families of the Levites from the half-tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan in Bashan, the city of refuge for the manslayer with his pasture lands, and Be'eshterah with his pasture lands, 2 cities. And the tribe of Issachar, they gave Kishion with his pasture lands, Dabaroth with his pasture lands, Jarmoth with his pasture lands, Enganim with his pasture lands, 4 cities. And from the tribe of Asher, they gave Mishal with his pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Helkath with its pasture lands, and Rehob with its pasture lands, 4 cities. And from the tribe of Naphtali, they gave Kadesh in Galilee, the city of refuge for the manslayer with its pasture lands, and Hamath Dor with its pasture lands, and Kartan with its pasture lands, 3 cities. All the cities of the Gershonites, according to their families, were 13 cities with their pasture lands. And to the families of the sons of Merari, the rest of the Levites, they gave the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with his pasture lands, and Karta with his pasture lands, Dimna with his pasture lands, Nahalal with his pasture lands, 4 cities. And from the tribe of Reuben, they gave Bezer with his pasture lands, and Jahaz with his pasture lands, Kedemoth with his pasture lands, and Nephath with his pasture lands, 4 cities. And from the tribe of Gad, they gave Ramoth in Gilead, the city of refuge for the manslayer with his pasture lands, and Mahanaim with his pasture lands, Heshbon with his pasture lands, Jazer with his pasture lands, 4 cities in all. All these were the cities of the sons of Merari according to their families. The rest of the families of the Levites, and their lot was 12 cities. All the cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the sons of Israel were 48 cities with their pasture lands. These cities each had its surrounding pasture lands. Thus it was with all these cities. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Amen. So this is the last allotment of land that's laid out. And this allotment is now given to the Levites. But the way that this allotment would work would be very, very different than the way it worked before. Before, they cast lots and they sent these engineers out and they divided up the land very equitably. Besides, you know, Reuben, Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh that took part of beyond the Jordan. And so it was very proportioned out. They cast lots and they gave it to them. But the Levites, it was a very different order. And in this regard, there was still casting of lots in terms of the spacing. But the idea was that it's the tribes that actually would give to the Levites. So they were apportioned a piece of land. They were given cities, many multiple cities. And out of those multiple cities, they were asked to give some cities to the Levites, to the priests. And if you go on all the way back to history, if you remember why the Levites were chosen, is because they fully follow the Lord. They're the ones that came out when the golden calf was built, if you remember that. And Moses said, if you're with me, come stand on this side. If you're not, get on this side. And only the Levites came up, every man, and they slayed some of the Israelites, and which was a really, really difficult thing to do. I mean, can you imagine something like that happening? But the idea is they fully follow the Lord. And so because of their wholeheartedness and their full obedience, they became the priests. And they became a people whom God trusted, really, to carry on his work on earth. Obviously, he uses everybody, but there would be a medium that would come before Christ, that would come and lead people into his presence and care for the ordinances and take the offerings and do sacrifices and so on and so forth. But interesting enough, the land, it came from within the people. And that, and you know, that still pretty much holds true to today in this regard. It's, if you think of it this way, God blesses the people, you know, to earn a living, to make wages, to be blessed. And out of that, out of the fullness, out of the bounty, God says, give some. And that's the whole idea of tithing, of offering, of giving that's laid out even more so in the New Testament. In terms of really the spirit of generosity. And so we see a very similar kind of idea that's happening. And it's interesting that God arranges it in this way. And so the Levites get these. Now, it seems like there's a lot of cities the Levites get, but it's actually not that much, considering these cities, they were not the only inhabitants of these cities, the history tells us. And so, and some of these cities, if you notice, are the cities of refuge. And so we can say, man, that kind of got a raw deal. You know, people have to come in, they got to take care of these people. But that was out of their sacrificial heart anyway. It was quite easy for them to govern a few of these cities of refuge in that regard that we read about the chapter just before. Now, we don't need to get into all the detail of all these things because now this is basically a summary, but the end of this is really a great promise of the Lord. So we'll read at verse 43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. Isn't that a powerful word? God said, now this is the 43 to 45 is a summary statement. Then when we get to 22, 23, 24, this basically leads us into the renewing of covenant before Joshua's departure. And so this is a summary statement of all the land is given, everything's laid out, and this is what he says. And God said, basically, I fulfilled every promise that I gave to Israel. Everything that I promised the fathers, your fathers, I did for you. Even to the point where in verse 44, He says, the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all they had sworn to their fathers. That's directly from Joshua 1:13. He says, I'm going to give you rest on every side. And that's precisely what happened. Now, we could read into the text a little bit, and well, I'll say that in this moment of time, God blessed them, but we know that they actually didn't fully follow the Lord. They didn't fully dispossess everybody, and they had possession of these lands, but it was intermingled with the enemies of God. And thus, you know, that leads into the turmoil of Judges, of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel. And we see really the folly of, or the resulting of partial obedience that's laid out. But he says, look, this is what I swore to your fathers. Everything I did, you got. I fulfilled every promise in this place. And the Lord gave them rest, and none of the enemies, the Lord gave all their enemies in their hand. And verse 45, this is a key verse here. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. They all came to pass. The word promise is actually better translated word. Not one of the good words which the Lord God had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Now, this is really important that we understand this, because the primary mode of communication that God chooses with his people is through the word. Now, not necessarily meaning this, but I mean, this is definitely a major part of that. In other words, the way that God meets his people, the revelation of the scriptures all the way through is what? God speaks. He speaks. He speaks to his people, and his people respond. So there's no there's no idol, right? The Philistines and the Canaanites and everyone else, they had an idol. That was their representation of God. So they had some figurine, some building, some monument, and they bowed before and they sacrificed before these idols. But God, there's no idols there. Because the way that he reveals himself to his people is he speaks. There's a communication that's going on. He'll speak through his prophets, the primary mode in the Old Testament, particularly Moses, now Joshua, you know, and others. And later on, you'll have Samuel and other prophets that come on the scene, minor, major. And then in the New Testament, he'll speak to us primarily through his word. It doesn't mean prophets don't exist anymore, but the office of the prophet actually begins to change a little bit. And, you know, one day I'll talk about prophecy and I'll explain what that means a little bit more. But it's really interesting. And so the whole point is says, so every word that I spoke came to pass. Every single thing that happened. And this is the promise of God. See, because his primary mode is speaking, that means it's really important for us to hear his voice. It's really important for us to have a relation with the Lord where we can really hear his voice. Jesus spends quite a bit of time, particularly in the book of John, where he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You know, I am the good shepherd. And it's this idea that his speaking, that his revelation, the revelatory ministry is going to come through his verbally, but more so his word, the rhema of God in our heart. Also the logos as well. And so when God speaks a word, and so this deals with kind of the promises in our life, when we can rest assured when God releases his word, that it's going to be accomplished. And so, you know, I don't know what promises God has given to you. I don't know what things that God has spoken into your life, either through the still small voice in your own heart or prophetically in that regard. And if God has spoken it, you can rest assured that it is finished, that it is done. I'll read this verse again. It says, not one of the good words which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Now, let me make a little side note into this thing. Notice that it didn't happen right after he said it would happen. Notice that it took a little bit of time to get to that place. Notice they had to fight a few wars to get to that place. But God was giving them victory every step of the way. And so a lot of times when we think of God's promises, we have this idea that God said, it's going to just drop on my lap. Well, we find a lot of times that that's not really the way God works. Sometimes it happens. And sometimes just God speaks and boom, just something drops on our lap. I mean, I've seen that. I've seen that happen many times. But a lot of other times I've seen that God wants me to partner with him and that God wants me to work with him and God wants to work through me. And in the working through me in that process, it builds my character. It builds my faith. It builds perseverance. It builds me up in that regard. And so with all that said in mind, I'm fine with it. Okay, God, I understand. Sometimes it's instant and sometimes it's progressive. Sometimes it just takes a while. And that may have nothing to do with sin. You know, it may not have anything to do with my bad mistakes or bad choices. Sometimes God chooses to work that way. But I love him, and he loves me, and that's the basis of our relationship. So I know that whatever that is, that he has the right plan in mind for me. And so when God says it, and just think, this is one of the really central teachings at SP. When God says it, the power to perform it is included with the saying. Let me give you a verse. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 37. And this is when the birth of Jesus is foretold. And so this angel is talking to Mary, and he's saying, you know, even your cousin, your relative Elizabeth, she has a son in her old age. And Mary, you know, obviously is kind of taken aback. And look what the word of the Lord says. This is verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. For nothing will be impossible with God. That is a good translation. Let me give you a better translation, just taken strictly from the Greek and just structured in this regard. The word nothing actually is the word rhema. And basically what this passage is saying is that no spoken word, it's rhema, no spoken word shall be without ability. So going back to Joshua passage, this is not one good word that God gave, a good promise, has not been fulfilled. Everything that God said has happened. Every word that God has spoken, it has come to fruition. Why? Because his word is very important. His word is valuable because his primary mode by which he ministers and attends his people is by him speaking. You better be sure that he's very careful with the things that he says. You know what I mean? I mean, if that's your primary mode, and so we come to this, no spoken word of God should be without ability. And so what the angel is telling, he's giving us, he's actually dropping us a boatload of theology. And he's saying that innate in God's word is God's power. In other words, God doesn't just say a word. He doesn't just say a promise, you know, like, Angela, you know, I'm going to do this for you. He doesn't just say a promise. God, in his nature, when he says a promise, attached to the promise is the power to complete the promise. Right? No spoken word shall be without ability. In other words, when God says a promise over your life, then that promise, when God says that word, attached to the word is the power to make that word happen. So God says, Aaron, you're going to be a father. Amen? Right? And God said it a while ago. It took a little time to get there, but the promise is true. And when God said it, the power to perform it is done. It's powerful, right? So this angel is, like I said, dropping this theology. So you go back to Genesis. How did the world start? With the word. He said, you know, he didn't clap his hands. You know, he didn't wave a wand, or he spoke. And so we see, you know, how God has been operating through history. God spoke, and out of that speaking, boom, right? Let there be light. And next thing you know, boom, there's light. Let there be an expanse, and all of a sudden, expanse happened. You know, let there be the sea, and waters came up. And I mean, that's how God works. God speaks, and we see the order of it. Now, notice that's pre-fall in many ways. Not in many ways, but that is pre-fall. And so now, after the fall, that becomes distorted, because now we are out of relationship with the Father. Well, Jesus comes to restore all things to himself. But we see that God spoke the word, and boom, the word happened. God says, let's go back to my message on Sunday. God says, oh, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Boom, Eve comes up. God speaks. Attached to the speaking, the word, the promise, is the power to perform it. And so what we're now living in is in this intermediary space where God wants faith. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to persevere. God grows our character. God grows us in our inner man in this time of waiting. That's really what happens. And you can really see a lot about someone's character. Like, you can see the real person is in how they wait. Some just trust the Lord, and that's where their heart is. Some trust the Lord with their mouth, but not with their heart, and there's all this jitteriness and complaining and whining and all these things. I mean, I'm not saying that we're not bound to those kind of fits. I mean, every faithful man will have these fits, you know, where, oh God, where, you know, I mean, read through the Psalm. David, man, God, what are you doing? Where are you? But always read the end of the Psalm. That's the key. And it says, Lord, yet I will still trust in you. Right? My soul longs after you. And so it's okay to have those fits, but I'm talking about prolonged times of not surrendering. Yeah, you run into problems. So let's close our eyes. So the question this morning is there an unfulfilled promise in your life today? So if that's the case, you got to step back and say, was that a word of the Lord? I mean, just be very honest and say, was that really a word of the Lord? Or was that my flesh? Or did I presume upon God? Now, if it was the word of the Lord, pray. Pray that into existence. You know how in the book of Mark, Jesus talking about prayer, he says, anything you ask, pray as if you've received it, and it will be given to you. In other words, act like you already got it. In other words, what he's saying is, pray in faith. Don't, Lord, please. Lord, I thank you that I have this. This is my inheritance. Now, there's some things that you don't really, I mean, particularly the revelation of Scripture makes it very clear that that's God's word and that God's will. In other words, you're praying for your family members to get saved. He desired that none would perish. That's God's will. And you pray that into being. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged this morning that God's promises are yes and amen. They are forever. And when he said it, the power to perform it is attached to it. It may take some time. It may be instantaneous. It may take some time. But God loves you. And his desire is the best for you.
is deep, your grace is more, your grace is found, is where.
Let's pray. Has God spoken into your life and you're not quite experiencing the fullness of that word? Don't give up. Have faith. God is doing something. When it's all said and done, that verse over Israel will be said about our lives, that the Lord accomplished everything. Every word that He gave was fulfilled. So I just want to encourage you to just cover those promises right now before the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray over our community as they are battling cancers and going through therapies. So let's pray for God's word. Let's pray for His healing word to touch that cancer and to eradicate it over their lives. Let's pray that SP would be a cancer-free zone. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and especially spiritual healing. Pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision, open doors, and God will just really bless and touch them in this season of their life. Let's go to our mission focus today, and let's pray for China. Let's ask God to just bless this country. Pray that they would be continue to open up to the things of God. Let's pray for our family in Beijing, Pastor Hyunsu, and for Chloe and for their baby. Pray for God's hand to be upon them, the board there, especially as they try to find a new place to meet as they continue to grow. Pray for the Chung family and their travels throughout China. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents in their translation work. Pray for Edie Clark and the churches. And let's just ask God to just continue to blow His wind through this country. He's been doing amazing things, and He wants to do so much more. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask God to have His hands upon our leaders and their families and their kids. Let's pray for God's grace and real wisdom to lead our church into His purposes. Let's pray. Let's pray for our men's ministry and our women's ministry. Let's pray for Monday morning prayer meetings, the Pure Desire Group, the men's fraternity, and especially our retreat that's coming up in May. We're in the process of finding a speaker, and so just pray for wisdom and that God would bring His set man to us during that time. I lift up the women's ministry as they started their little kind of core meetings and as they plan to launch and pray for our young adults as well. Bless Pastor Kenny as he leads, and especially our men and women in those groups. And let's just lift up and pray that they would grow in the grace of God. Let's pray for Alpha. Let's pray for covering and protection over all the volunteers and the guests. Let's pray that every guest, there be a real conviction in their heart to give their life to the Lord and to trust Jesus for their lives. You know, we heard at the town hall that last Saturday they had 60 guests come in. And so let's just pray for all 60 of them that would trust Jesus Christ. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's lift up Causeway Bay, EastEnders, Island, New Conduit, Cimbria, and Lion Rock. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for the hosts. Let's pray that time of welcome, worship, word, and work that would really connect with one another and connect especially with the Lord. Let's pray. Especially lift up the lambs at EastEnders as the whole family's sick right now. I just pray, especially over KJ. Let's go to our Lent prayer focus. And today we're praying for St. Stephen Society Harvest Mission Community Church. And so please pray for the Lord's continued blessing on Jackie and her team. So St. Stephen Society is bilingual service at its Vineyard service. Also pray for Christian Canaan Church. Let's pray for the development of our various ministries, elderly, children, family, and student. So number one is an international church, and number two is a local church. And so let's pray. Just ask God to just bless these churches and these leaders. We thank you, God. We bless you today. We are so humbled, God, by your power, Lord. God, no spoken word of God should be without ability. Lord, when you say it, God, the power to perform it is attached to the word. And so, God, we ask, Lord, in the midst of many unfulfilled promises, God, that we walk in, Lord, personally and even as a church, but Lord, we will not waver, God, we will not faint. And we run towards the goal of Christ. And so we pray that you give us strength, God. You help us to persevere. You'd work on our character as we draw near to you, Father. Just thank you. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you still speak to your people, God. We bless you. Speak to us today, Lord. We love you, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to finish Joshua soon. Praise God.